Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program is brought to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our play today is a legend by Stanley Silverman entitled Isaiah and the United Nations. Featured in the cast are Raymond Edward Johnson as Isaiah and Alan Hewitt as Adam Martin.
My name's Martin, Adam Martin, but that's not important. I'm in the security section of the United Nations Secretariat. But that's no great matter either. What is important is the dream I had last night. Oh, ordinarily I pay no attention to dreams, but this one was different. About the General Assembly of the United Nations, of all things. The Assembly, you know, holds its first meeting Wednesday in a place they call Flushing. Now, in this dream, Isaiah... But I'd better start from the beginning. Last night, while reading the book of Isaiah, a prophet who flourished about 2,700 years ago, I fell asleep.
That King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, and one called unto another and said, shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. He shall make the right to go forth to the nations. He shall make the right to go forth according to the truth. He shall not fail nor be crushed till he has set the right in the earth.
Next thing I knew, it was Wednesday, October the 23rd, opening day of the General Assembly of the United Nations, and we had our hands full. Seemed as if the whole world wanted to attend the meeting. I tell you, I'm very sorry, but there simply isn't any room.
But I've been waiting for 3 hours.
I'm sorry, madam. There's nothing I can do for you.
Now, wait a minute, mister. I promised my boy
I'm
here.
I'm sorry,
sir,
but...
Oh, Mr. Martin.
What is it, Jackson?
Can you step this way a minute, sir?
Very well. Be right over. Excuse me, please. Pardon me. Excuse me, I just got to get through here. Thank you. Pardon me.
I hurried to the end of the hall where Jackson, one of the guards, was talking with a tall, foreign-looking personage in a dusty linen robe. A Greek or Arabian, I thought. Perhaps an Egyptian.
Ah, here's Mr. Martin now, sir. He'll explain to you.
What's the trouble, Jackson?
The gentleman hasn't any card, but he says he has to be admitted.
It is the order of my king.
I see. I wonder, sir, may I check your credentials?
Have I not been sent by my king?
Of course, of course. But his majesty...
The Holy One, blessed be he.
I beg your pardon? Now, sir, if you'd be good enough to tell me your delegation, where you are from.
Hashem Shomo.
Hashem what?
Hashem Shomo. The Lord is there.
Listen to him. The Lord...
Jackson.
Yes, sir?
Come here a moment. Let's see your membership list.
Here you are, sir.
France, Greece, Haiti, Honduras, India. No Hashem Shomo.
Say, Mr. Martin, maybe that was one of those countries they voted down.
Oh, no, Jackson. We received no application from Hashem Shomo.
Oh, well... Anyway, it's no dice for the old guy?
I'm afraid so. We'll have to explain it.
He's disappeared.
Well, what do you know? So long, Mr. Martin.
Jackson, where are you going?
I gotta find him. You can't have a guy from Shamo sitting in the General Assembly of the United Nations.
Recognizes the senior delegate from Edom.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question before us is that of raising the nutritional standards of the so-called backward areas. Now, my government believes that our plan offers the only sensible and practical solution to this very complicated...
Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The galleries will be quiet or they will be cleared. Will the gentleman from Edom continue?
Thank you. It has been suggested that to adopt this plan will work certain hardships on a few 100,000 persons. Now, even were that charge true, and I beg leave to doubt it, still there can be little question of the kindliness and generosity of our plan as a whole. We need only consider...
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that change darkness into light and light into darkness, that change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter.
The chairman had no choice, of course, except to clear the galleries. Jackson and I stood by the door and scanned each spectator carefully. But somehow we missed the troublesome gentleman from Hashem Shomo. I'm sure, however, that he left with the others. In any event, there was no further disturbance. That day, the chairman saw to that. The question of nutritional standards was promptly referred to an appropriate commission. 2 days later, the commission announced itself as ready to report. Needless to say, I had made my own preparations.
Don't you worry, Mr. Martin. The old guy hasn't even come near the place.
So I sat back with an easy mind to listen to the commission report.
As rapporteur of Commission 2, Section 3, I may summarize our findings as follows. First, the nutritional standards of the so-called backward areas while properly the concern of all the United Nations, must in the last analysis be handled by the individual nations directly concerned on an autonomous...
Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and to the writers that write iniquity.
What?
To turn aside the needy from judgment.
Jackson! Jackson! Stop that man!
And you better take away the right of the poor of the people, that widows may be their spoil and that they may make the fatherless their prey.
We removed the gentleman from Hashem Shamo. Jackson brought him to my office for questioning and for a warning. It was my hope that a good talking to would show the old gentleman the error of his ways.
Okay, Mr. Martin. Call me if you need me.
Very well, Jackson. Now, sir, there seems to have been a little misunderstanding. Apparently you aren't used to our ways of doing things.
No ways are hidden from the Lord, my king. His discernment is past searching out.
I see, yes, of course. I see what you mean, but...
Seeing many things, thou observest not.
Well, look, sir, you're an educated man. I'm sure you can appreciate the situation. After all, we can't have people walking into the General Assembly of the United Nations just like that and saying...
Thus saith the Lord, my king. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance.
That's all very well.
All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted as things of naught and vanity.
Yes, but that may be the way you look at it in Hashem Shalmo.
The Lord is there.
To be sure, but I think you can understand, sir, that here in Flushing...
Know ye not? Hear ye not? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood the foundations of the earth?
Of course, but surely your king doesn't hold himself superior to...
It is he that sitteth above the circle of the earth, that bringeth princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as a thing of naught.
To make a long story short, I got exactly nowhere with the old gentleman. He kept uttering one preposterous statement after another until finally I showed him to the door.
Everything all right, Mr. Martin?
Yes, Jackson. Please escort this gentleman to the outer gates.
Okay, Mr. Martin. But it's not going to be easy.
What's that?
Look out the window.
Huh?
Go on, raise it. Reporters, Mr. Martin. Reporters from every newspaper and wire service in the whole country. Maybe in the whole world.
Button him down! Give us a chance,
Well, Mr. Martin?
Take him down, Jackson. Let the press talk to him. UN believes in freedom of speech, you know. It wasn't until Jackson was halfway down the stairs that I realized the enormity of my mistake. The gentleman from Hashem Shamo was obviously unbalanced. The Lord is there, indeed, and would fill the reporters with the same outrageous nonsense he had told me. And the papers would picture the General Assembly as the haunt of madmen. I rushed to the window, raised it to call out. But it was too late. The old gentleman was surrounded by reporters, feverishly copying down his every word. And such words.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to bring good tidings unto the humble. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the eyes to them that are bound.
You can imagine what happened after that. The old gentleman, his name, he said, was Isaiah, son of Amoz, became a greater source of news on the General Assembly than the Assembly itself. The reporters provided him with a tent, set it up for him, as a matter of fact, smack in the center of the court of the flags of the United Nations. Naturally, we tried to remove him. But we tried that only once.
I don't care if it is United Nations territory. The old man ain't doing no harm.
Sure, and where else in New York could he find a place to stay?
Yeah, anybody wants to move him, he'll have to settle with me.
So Mr. Isaiah stayed at the door of his tent facing the hall of the General Assembly. And as the official cars drew up to the door, the reporters would identify them and ask Mr. Isaiah for comment.
That's the delegation from Moab, sir. Got anything on them?
We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud. Even of his haughtiness and his pride and his arrogancy, his ill-founded boasting.
Boy, oh boy, wait till they hear that.
Therefore shall Moab wail for Moab. Everyone shall wail, and the glory of Moab shall wax contemptible for all his great multitude.
Thank you, Mr. Isaiah.
And more of the same. Much, much more of the same. Prophecy after prophecy from Mr. Isaiah outside the hall of the General Assembly. And inside...
As chairman, I must insist upon common courtesy among the speakers.
But, Mr. Chairman...
Mr. Chairman, I have the floor.
You had the floor on the same point of procedure for 3 hours.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, the delegate from Tarshish does have the floor.
Thank you. Now, as I was saying, if we correctly interpret Article 27 of the Charter in terms not only of the Potsdam Conference, but also of the decisions reached at the first or London meeting of the Conference...
And more of the same. Much, much more of the same. Argument after argument. About details. Now, I have as much respect as the next man for order and parliamentary procedure, but... Oh, well, really, after all. So I did a strange thing. Strange for me, that is, because I acted solely on impulse. On Wednesday, October the 30th, 1 week after the General Assembly had opened, I got up from my desk, and the next thing I knew...
Good morning, my son.
Mr. Isaiah...
Yeah?
Mr. Isaiah, what's the matter in there?
The uproar of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together?
That's what I mean, Mr. Isaiah. They talk and they talk, but they don't seem to get anyplace. What's the matter?
There is no peace for the wicked.
What?
Proclaim the word, there is no peace for the wicked.
I'm not quite clear in my own mind whether I did right or wrong, but when the reporters gathered around me,
Come on, come on, Martin. What did he tell you?
What about this freedom of information stuff?
Huh? I told them. It made headlines in every newspaper in the country. And it made tall talk in the hall of the General Assembly.
The government of Edom categorically denies the allegation that it is wicked, or that its sister nations are wicked.
The government of Tarshish associates itself with the views of the government of Edom.
My government instructs me to assert that there is no wickedness in Moab.
And so through 50 nations, each one, they said, without taint or blemish, except for the delegation from Ur.
The government of Ur, without prejudice to its own merits or those of its sister nation, moves that the charge made by the observer from Hashem Shemor be brought before the General Assembly.
In accordance with Article 10 of the Charter of the United Nations, Mr. Isaiah, the General Assembly asks you to discuss your allegation that our deliberations have been unproductive, primarily because...
There is no peace for the wicked.
Exactly.
The government of Moab enters the following reservation. In view of the contribution made by the armed forces of Moab toward overthrowing the enemy...
So spoke also the king of Assyria.
Assyria?
Down from the north he came, saying, by the strength of my hand have I done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent.
That is neither here nor there. The armed forces of Moab broke the back of the enemy when...
Should the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Should the saw magnify itself against him that moveth it?
Please, there will be no further expressions from the gallery. Now, Mr. Isaiah, perhaps some among us, with the best will in the world, have laid too much stress on individual interests. But certainly as a whole, we have all been acting in good faith.
So spoke they in Jerusalem in Hezekiah's time when they fasted and cried aloud to the Lord, and he heeded not their prayers. And the Lord God spoke through me to the people, saying, behold, ye fast for strife and contention, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye fast not this day so as to make your voices to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I have chosen?
Mr. Chairman! Mr. Chairman!
The chair recognizes the delegate from Ur.
Mr. Chairman, Ur asks Mr. Isaiah this question. What kind of a fast, in his opinion, would be acceptable to the Lord?
Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the fetters of wickedness? To undo the bonds of the yoke and to let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shalt thou call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he will say, here I am.
That's all I remember of the dream I had last night. Except one thing. A fragment of a dream, you might say. Just before the alarm clock went off.
And he shall judge between the nations, and shall decide for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks.
Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Today's radio play was written by Stanley Silverman. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. Liturgical music was sung by cantor Robert Siegel. The role of Isaiah was played by Raymond Edward Johnson and Adam Martin by Alan Hewitt. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. For a free copy of today's script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.